Some new data today suggesting that wealthy foreign buyers are among the reasons real estate prices are so strong, or so high, depending on one's perspective, in some parts of the country. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. First, new numbers on how it's getting harder to buy a house in some parts of the U.S. Realty Track is out with a report today that says that home prices are rising faster than wages in almost two-thirds of American housing markets. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The most unaffordable housing markets are on the coasts, New York and San Francisco, for example. Darren Bloomquist is senior vice president at Realty Track. He says the report found that prices not just on the coast, but in 9% of the housing markets they looked at were above historic norms. So,
to buy a medium-priced home, you'd have to spend a higher percentage of your wages as an average wage earner than you would have to historically in that market.
Why? Bloomquist blames a domino effect that starts when wealthy foreign buyers snap up houses on the coast. The locals in those markets are priced out, so they move.
We call them housing refugees. You know, they're coming from these high-priced markets and moving to a market like Detroit or St. Louis or even Baltimore.
And driving up prices in those markets. In Washington, where housing prices are also rising, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
When it comes to recruits, the single greatest competitor for the U.S. Armed Forces is a stronger economy. And as the economy improves, military recruiters have been forced to look beyond what had been a traditional source of new personnel, families where someone has already served. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour reports.
Corey Warham spent in total 10 years in the U.S. Air Force.
I came from a military family. My father, my brother, there was always an influence of service before self in my family.
Family has a huge influence on military recruitment. 82% of Navy recruits have an extended family member in the armed forces. But that's actually a source of worry for military leadership.
We want to see more of America participate in military service.
Vice Admiral of the Navy, Bill Moran.
We are supported and funded by the American people, and the less they understand who we are, the greater the risk that we are supported in the future.
The number of recruits with parents in the armed services is declining. There's another reason for the vice admiral's concern, the improving economy.
That is always our biggest competitor in recruiting.
The Navy has doubled maternity leave. It's sending service members on year-long tours in industry to pick up skills. Commercials focus on gaining technical skills in the Air Force and Navy. The armed forces may need recruits to fight, but they have to first fight for recruits. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
African Americans, Latinos, and Native Americans make up about a quarter of the U.S. population, but just 9% of doctors. Meanwhile, the number of black men applying to medical school is lower now than it was in the late 1970s. This is a diversity issue, and experts say a health issue. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports now on efforts to narrow the gap.
It's 9:30 on Saturday morning when a lot of teenagers are still home in bed. Not these 10 high school seniors. They're packed into a conference room at Johns Hopkins Hospital talking about what it will take to succeed in medical school.
You're going to need study groups, Jesus, Moses, Muhammad, Allah, everything you can get a hold of, you'll need on your side.
That's Damian Myers, chief education officer of a program called Merit. It helps prepare mostly black and Latino students to become doctors, medical examiners, and public health leaders. When Myers finished medical school in 2007, he was one of only two black men in his class of 110. He left medicine to give students the kind of support he wishes he'd had.
If you don't have someone in your corner encouraging you, you can become discouraged and find an easier path. Because it's not easy, but it is attainable. It's doable.
18-year-old Christiana Harris says that's not a message she and her classmates have heard enough in their lives. She wants to be a pediatric trauma surgeon.
A young black boy, if he's tall, he's a basketball player. If he's stocky, he's a football player. Why can't he be a surgeon? Or a black girl with a lot of knowledge. Oh, you're going to be a nurse? Why can't I go that extra mile and be a doctor?
Christiana and her fellow students have already gone the extra mile and then some. Starting sophomore year, Merit scholars give up most Saturday mornings to take classes on the different types of health careers and the role race plays in healthcare. In the summers, they do paid internships in hospitals and laboratories. Merit is one of a growing number of so-called pipeline programs. Cameron Matthews is a family physician in Chicago and co-founder of the Tour for Diversity in Medicine. It sends groups of black and Latino doctors and dentists around the country to talk with high school and college students.
When you diversify the physicians, not only do the physicians treat more patients of color, more patients of disadvantaged backgrounds, but the patients themselves actually respond more favorably. They trust their physicians more. You really can affect patient outcomes.
But first, those would-be doctors have to get into and through medical school. Baltimore's Merit Program continues to support students through that process. The program is too new to know how many will make it, but so far all of its graduates have gone to four-year colleges, where they're getting mostly A's and B's. In Baltimore, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
They tell you not to binge drink, but watching apparently is A-OK. A new online survey by Deloitte finds that 70% of Americans and more than 80% of 20 and 30-somethings watch their programs in long batches. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson.
The share of people who reported binging on TV, how often and what they're watching, mostly dramas, were all largely unchanged in this year's survey compared to last year.
We all know that binge watching has become a trend.
Kevin Westcott worked on the report for Deloitte.
A lot of it has to do with the availability of content, but a third binge every week, and they watch an average of over 5 episodes.
14 to 25-year-olds actually averaged 6 episodes in one sitting. The consistency year over year may not necessarily mean we've reached some sort of peak binge, but it'd be hard to watch more and, you know, maintain a life. Jim Nail is with Forrester Research.
You know, we get home from work, we make dinner, we eat dinner, we clean up, and then we sit down and we've got 2 to 3 hours before bedtime. That limits how many episodes of anything we can binge at a time.
Unless you're staying up until 2 a.m. watching The Americans and then calling in sick the next day for work, which I have definitely never done. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Actually, all this predates digital. Once upon a time, one could go see Shakespeare's Henry VI, Part 1 in the morning, Part 2 as a matinee, and Part 3 after dinner. As for binging in general, read up on Henry VIII. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.